Hello, and welcome to The Great Collide, where we explore the intersection between politics and faith. I'm Leanne Noland.
And I'm Jasmine Taylor. More than 35,000 migrants have been sent to Chicago since 2022, mostly from Texas. Many Chicagoans have complained about the burden on the city, but migrants have also been arriving in the suburban communities, and churches are stepping up to meet their needs.
Our guest today is Father John Rumpel, priest of Grace Episcopal Church in Oak Park, which opened an emergency asylum shelter in November and will be transitioning to a new phase of helping migrants on March 15th.
So, Father Rumpel, tell us about Grace Church. Who are your parishioners and what community have you typically served?
Grace has been around as a community in the Oak Park area since the 1860s, and the building was completed here in the 1920s. It's been a church, a progressive spiritual community throughout its entire history, I think. And the makeup of the current church, we have a robust music program. There's a lot of interest in the arts and in music in our congregation. And there's a big emphasis on social justice, which prior to this opportunity for ministry to open the shelter, we have been involved as a church in helping homeless the homeless population here in Oak Park by serving meals, by opening our church. We used to have, before the pandemic, 60 people sleeping in our church on a Wednesday night that's a group called PADS. And Housing Forward, one of our ministry partners, was involved in helping us to do that. So there's been sort of, but helping people in this fashion has been sort of part of the spiritual DNA of this congregation.
When did migrants begin arriving from Texas, and what was the reaction in Oak Park?
So the migrants that we originally were asked to house by the village had been here since, for several months, and some had only been here for a few days. They arrive at landing platforms downtown in Chicago. Sometimes it just whenever the buses would arrive, sometimes late in the middle of the night. And if you've ever been to one of these landing platforms, it's a eye-opening experience because people are standing around, children are standing around, and periodically someone will come and try to assist them to an open shelter. But it was the case that a good number of the people, the men who live in our shelter currently, were camping outside of a police station in Austin. And so they reached out to us, they reached out to the village of Oak Park to see if we could find shelters or temporary housing for them. When we first were asked, they said, can you do this for 2 weeks? So it's 4 months later, and that has been a chance for us to provide these guys with some stability and some safety.
Why did they call Grace Church to help those arriving migrants?
I think the village remembered that we are a church that has traditionally helped the homeless population. We have opened our doors to people in the past. They were just finding anywhere they could to reach out and find a shelter for these men. So I think because of our history of doing this kind of ministry, they approached us.
So that's pretty much your broader mission of your church. You're really trying to work and reach out and help.
That's correct. And I think that, this shelter and the needs of these men has really stretched us. I mean, as a priest, I've been a priest for nearly 15 years, and I've never had an experience of running a shelter like this. And there's a lot of dimensions to it. They are in a complex situation. They've come to a country seeking asylum. They're not here illegally. So we had to learn about the process of getting them to their court dates to establish their asylum statements and claims. We had to get them medical attention and help. Some had trekked through jungles and things, came here with infections and diseases that some of the doctors here had never even seen. We had to connect them with legal help. They as I said, our courts are overwhelmed and underfunded. And because of that, it's been a slow process. We've tried to help them find work in the area, but without a work permit, that's very difficult. And so it's taken the village to work as a team. And so we've had partners come beside us. We could not have done this alone. We've had Housing Forward, a local group that fights homelessness. They've been at our side this entire time. Beyond Hunger is another group that has supplied food for us and for these guys. And they bring food twice a week to help. So it has been, it's definitely been a community effort to support these guys.
Now, Father, I want to share a quote with you and see what you think of this. So former President Trump recently said that crime is through the roof and it's called migrant. They beat up police officers. You've seen that they go in, they stab people, hurt people, shoot people. It's a whole new form, and they have gangs now that are making our gangs look like small potatoes, end quote. So how do you reconcile that description of migrants with the people that you are housing at Grace?
Well, I mean, Trump is xenophobic and he's gonna make statements like that. I think though his ability to make a statement like that publicly and it be accepted by large swaths of Americans is indicative of where our society is at with this issue. We can't even get Congress to come to a sensible piece of legislation about this that would actually help people's lives. Congress plays with people's lives because of the politics of this, and it's shameful. And as a society, this is a bad mark for us because we cannot seem to allow ourselves to listen to these people's stories. Even in the village of Oak Park here, as much as they, you know, they've really helped and wanted to help, there are still board members in the village who are caught up with the politics of it. And so things have not moved fast. In fact, things have gone so slowly. We're closing this shelter next week, and I don't even know where most of these men are going to be housed. For me, what gets me past that really quickly is actually meeting the people and hearing their stories. We're talking about people who in Venezuela dared to stand up to their government, a corrupt government, a government that I would argue we helped put in place. And in that situation, they're standing up peacefully against their government, and their government comes, the government in Venezuela, and you can check this on lots of sources online, but I'm hearing it in the stories from these asylum seekers here. They show up at these people's houses. They beat up their families. Some of the guys here have been held hostage for money by the Venezuelan government. Some of them have been badly mistreated and physically mistreated by people in the Venezuelan government. They're not here on, you know, to be economical colonists. You know, when I hear a statement like Trump made, I mean, it's just ignorant and it lacks all compassion. And I think we have to decide what kind of country we're going to be. There's a reason why we're so attractive, for why people come here, and how we respond as a nation, I think, in all of this right now is it's critical. In other words, and this is what I've had to grapple with as a priest who is trying to lead a congregation through a ministry like this, we're part of a cog in a machine that isn't functioning. And until that machine as a whole begins functioning, you know, it's very difficult sometimes to help the people that are coming to our doors. And so, I don't know, for me, the politics kind of dissolves away when, as I said, when you actually get on the ground and start getting to know the people that are, you know, that are here.
And so tell me, is there any one story that sticks out to you that just in the top of your mind of a story of how somebody got here or what they went through?
I can't get into some of the details, obviously, just to protect these guys. But there was one gentleman who came here. He has a 2-year-old daughter. His wife is 4 months pregnant. She is having a difficult pregnancy. They have been ostracized in the area that they're living because of their political views, which are in contrast to the government. He has found it impossible to find employment. And so basically his family commissioned him to come up here and to try to find a way to make some money and to send that money back to the family. When they earn money, they're not going out and spending it on, nice clothing and shoes. They're sending it back immediately because they want to help their families. Most of the men in the shelter that I've been running present as single, but almost all of them are married with kids. And I would say that in the case of this one gentleman I'm referring to, who left his wife in the midst of her pregnancy and his family, I've tried to pastor him and tried to get him mental health help because of the stress and the burden that they're under here. I mean, some of these people are pretty amazing in their resiliency and their strength. They've trekked all the way here. They were met in Texas by Texan officials and told, if you get on this bus, then the people on the other end are going to give you a house and a job, which was a lie, but that's how they got them on the buses. They get shipped up here to Chicago because we say we're going to be a sanctuary city. And so people like Greg Abbott are going to punish us for that. And then they find out that was not the case. And this gentleman that I was talking about, he found that out. And he has gone out and every day he gets up at 5:30, gets ready, goes out and looks for some kind of work. Because of the corruption of their government, the United States has a policy where we can offer them TPS status, temporary protective status, if they arrived before July 31st, 2023. In that situation, they are then able to work 7 weeks after they get that status. So he has finally achieved that status. He got that status last month, and he's started working in a construction job here. And he's been able to start sending back money to his family, and he hopes to bring them here if he can. He doesn't want to go back because he would be threatened physically by the Venezuelan government. So that's what they're carrying. That's what they're shouldering here. And I can't imagine. I mean, most of the guys we're dealing with in this shelter are in their early 20s, mid-20s. And I can't imagine that, going through that in my 20s.
No, thank you for sharing the true stories behind these individuals and these families. Like we've talked about, there's a lot of misinformation out there. And about 57% of Americans say that migrants bring crime. So what do you say to people who are afraid right now?
I would say that we have to think a little bit more deeply than these people are here to just rob us and take our jobs and take. I mean, I see that reaction in people. It's coming from desperation. And if we want to address the desperation that people feel in this society, then we need to put leaders in place that are going to act on that and not just drag their feet and not play political games. The African American community in Chicago has been up in arms at the 32,000 Venezuelans who have come in and the way they've been given shelter and food and help and assistance that the city of Chicago has not been giving to the African American residents of this city. That desperation is something that our government leadership needs to have the maturity and the capacity to address with our own citizens and with the citizens of other nations, especially the nations where we have contributed to the realities that they're living in because of our politics.
So tell me, describe the process of welcoming migrants to your church. What is your church doing for them, long-term, short-term?
We opened up our parish hall, which is probably the largest room we have here at Grace, and our kitchen, so that they could cook their own meals to some extent. We opened up our nursery and then a small groups room and some other areas. We installed a temporary shower. We invited the community to help fund it. So we got a web page up and we created the infrastructure we needed to have hosts who were here during the day. And we've just been blessed by people who have both in this congregation and in the Oak Park community, and even beyond that, who have come and spent time with these men in 4-hour slots. And then we have an evening meal that we invite people to either cater or to bring in themselves to feed the guys. We've tried to provide that kind of routine for them day by day. I mentioned the legal help, the help with finding jobs. We have a Monday and Tuesday night English as a second language class upstairs in the church forum. We started that. We have people come in who volunteer to do their laundry. And so that's as you can imagine, with 30 guys, that's an unending need right there. But the guys themselves just have been so grateful, and they have been just self-sufficient. We broke them up into 4 teams, and those teams had responsibility for cleaning different parts of their areas, and they've kept up on that. Our kitchen has never looked better sometimes. And so, I mean, they care about where they're staying. They also are showing a lot of appreciation for what this community has rallied together and done. So during the day, a lot of them are out working. I'd say of the 30 some men that we have, probably 20 have been successful in finding jobs locally. That's their number one priority. But the words that they keep using to describe what we are giving them is safety and security. It's the first time that many of them have felt that for a long time.
So Father John, you are already doing so much for these men. So what will happen on March 15th then in this next phase of your ministry?
This is a date that the village of Oak Park set out for us in terms of an end date for the shelter. And their hopes were that we would help these guys get through a long Chicago winter. Thankfully, this winter has not been that bad, so it's been good on that front. But we decided, the vestry of this church decided, that we really have to honor that date, in the sense that we don't have any funding promised to us for food or for continual caseworkers to come here and help them with their legal help and that kind of thing, medical help. So we don't have the resources to keep going. I've been running the shelter, and that's basically a full-time job. So, you know, I've got a patient and understanding congregation, but I need to get back to pastoring them. And so the village made this invitation to these individuals. We've had more individuals come into the shelter subsequently. We're waiting to hear what shelter opportunities are there for them. The village made a deal with St. Edmund's Catholic Church here in Oak Park to give them a $1.5 million grant so that their school could be turned into a home for these people. But our men were not considered in that decision-making. The Archdiocese of the Roman Catholic Church will not permit these single men to live with families. Families were what was prioritized for that shelter, despite the fact, as I said earlier, that most of these men are not single. It's just their families happen to be back in another place. So getting into an agreement with, you know, a church that's going to allow sexist policies like that is a difficult thing for the village. But I know that they were just trying to do their best. But it did for the 3 shelters that they established here. At Grace, the Carlton was another shelter, a hotel here in Oak Park. And then also the YMCA here was hosting a number of the asylum seekers. Grace has just not been factored. This shelter hasn't been factored in to how they're going to find housing. So there's a lot of stress right now in the shelter. These men are, you know, next Friday is looming. And I am trying desperately to get answers from the village and from others. We're having, Oak Park does have a couple of groups, but one group, the Oak Park Migrant Mission, which is a locally organized sort of Facebook run group that is aware of this situation and is going to come and meet with the guys tomorrow night and talk to them about what steps it would take to get into like an apartment. Maybe they could gather together in groups of three or four. And we've talked to landlords who will graciously allow them to not have to go through a credit check because they obviously don't have any here in the States. They're also trying to find funding that will, you know, allow them some space in terms of paying their rent for a time where they can get on their feet a little bit more and find better jobs in that regard. So if it comes to it though, next Friday, and this is not a pleasant thought, but we must close this shelter for the reasons I articulated. And if it comes to it next Friday, we're just going to have to put a lot of these guys on a bus or in a van and take them down to a landing platform in Chicago where they'll be outside and start again.
Wow. So my question, I got two actually. One of them was going to be, if you had it your way, what would happen on Friday?
If I had it my way, St. Edmunds would open their door and give these guys some housing. If I had it my way, the village should step up, I think, and work with maybe Housing Forward or someone here to find these men shelter. But the guys don't want to go into another shelter. Many of them have told me they've been abused in shelters. I've heard stories of that kind of thing here in Chicago. And I don't know how frequent that is, but it's part of how they're reacting. Some of them have been able to get very inexpensive transportation or cars, and a couple of them have, and they've asked if they can live in their car in our parking lot. You know, that's where the situation is at right now.
Wow. So how can people help Grace Church in your work?
Well, our website is up, and you can, most of our volunteering has been fulfilled. People have been really stepped up with that. Our meals are taken care of, our laundry, all that kind of stuff. We do need donations to support our ability to get them transportation. And I mean, if they find another city or some family that they can go to, then, you know, we want to help provide them a way to get there. So we, just this past week, we sent three of our guys to Ocean City, Maryland, where they have a friend who knew of some jobs there that were open that they could get. And so that's a new start for them. You know, also just your prayers for strength. These men here, the mental strength it takes to walk this path is not insignificant. And, you know, they know that they need the Lord's guidance and strength. You know, so they come to me and ask me for me to pray for them. And they are trying to see how they can follow God's leadership in their life right now. And so I think praying for them and praying for us as we try to minister to them would be the best thing anybody could do.
Thank you, Father Rumpel, for putting a human face on the migrants arriving in our communities. Be sure to download all of our great Collide episodes. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review. And most importantly, tell your friends. Go to gcbm.org for all the links.
The Great Collide is a production of the Greater Chicago Broadcast Ministries, a communications ministry of the Protestant, Orthodox, and Episcopal Churches of Greater Chicago in cooperation with the Council of Religious Leaders of Metropolitan Chicago.
I'm Jasmine Taylor.
And I'm Leanne Noland.
Keep the faith.